Thank you. Good morning. It's always a pleasure, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, on Friday, Governor Kathy Hochul officially signed the budget into law. Lots of delay, lots to talk about. Let's start with the fiscal of the budget, Assemblyman. What should we be looking for, and your thoughts on what passed?
Well, the budget was 38 days late, and it's the latest in 15 years, I'm sorry. Here's my thought on it. Unsustainable. This year's budget is $254 billion. Last year's budget was $239 billion. And in 9 years that I've been there, it's increased just about $100 billion. Think about this. If that's the way it's going to focus, in 9 years, it's going to be $350 to $400 billion. Think about that dollar amount. And what worries me is this. It is unsustainable. We cannot continue to spend money as we do and then try and come up with revenue sources, which absolutely hurts the entire state. Let's talk about the debt, okay? Now, they list the debt at $65.1 billion that we are paying interest on. But what is not included, Joe, is the debt of the public authorities, the Thruway Authority, the Power Authority, all the authorities that were created that are allowed to incur their own debts. They do not show up on the balance sheet of the state, but they're still there. The authorities' debts are about $125.4 billion. So when you look at it, the state taxpayers are really on the hook for $390.5 billion, almost $400 billion. In this particular budget, and it's kind of like there's two different opinions. Of course, one side of the majority loves the fact that they spent a lot of money and gave a lot of money out without accountability and without being able to adjust, audit, or analyze the value of the ways the budget, the money was sent out to different organizations. On the other side, you've got my position, and you've got the position of those that understand sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And this seems to be the trend of New York State. We're just going to continue to come up with ways to spend other people's money. New York State is one of the largest out-migrations. Yes, they claim people are moving in, but who's moving in? The people that are moving in are those that need most of the services and most of the help. Those that are moving out are those that have been paying the bills. So if we keep this average trend, and part of this is New York State, out of 50 states, is the highest tax state, 49th in business friendliness. So what we need to do is start looking at the actual details and statistics and not watch the headline hyperbole that tries to make everyone believe everything is good. Everything is beautiful. We have bridges to sell. So on the fiscal end, I don't know if you want to be able to go into any specifics, Joe, but that's the general statement on where this fiscal end is at this point.
You talk about the money that taxpayers are sending, are spending, and Governor Hochul, you know, she put out there that all this money is going back into the middle class. Middle class citizens are going to be getting rebate checks for inflation. Your thoughts on that, and what's the reality of that?
Well, the reality of it is, I don't agree with the assessment, okay? Yeah, it's good to give some people money back, all right? But when you think about it, $300 for married filers, what's one check for $300 that comes out just before the election going to do? $150, okay, for single head of household filers. I mean, think about the lunacy of how this is going to solve any issues. And when they talk about the inflation is stationary and it's reducing. It's the headlines that keep pushing the scenario. But inflation was during the previous federal administration. So when you really think about it, oh, we're going to give you an inflation rebate. But look at the dollar amount. And where's that coming from? It's coming from other taxpayers. So what you're doing is, indirectly, you're buying votes, Joe. And this is one of my issues with it. If you really want to truly reduce the tax burden on individuals, then analyze your spending. Reduce your spending. Go through your programs. Let's get rid of programs that are not producing what they're saying. Let's get rid of programs that are taking taxpayer dollars and they're just using them for hiring. Okay? Let's take the DEC. The DEC, this is an incredible, absolutely incredible. They've given them additional duties. But what they have to do, wetlands, and what they did with wetlands is they expanded the developing area around a wetland to more feet. They hired 28 people to be able to monitor that. It's cutting back on construction. It's hurting other construction. On another project, they added, I believe it was 35 employees. So how do you keep adding employees and bloating government and talk about helping the middle class? So it's analysis. It's a different opinion. I'm not saying that I'm not chastising those that have different opinions, but let's get down to reality. And it's reality that counts. It's not opinions. It's not hyperbole. It's not what the headline says. It's what the facts are in reality, and we work in reality, okay? So on that, one of the real, real sticking points is this. There's an allegation that our attorney general, before she came into office, the allegation is, and there's a photograph of it that's been out, that she committed fraud on a mortgage application for federal assistance, lower interest rate, for a property outside of New York State many years ago. They're auditing the mortgages of the federal government, and lo and behold, they come up with the fact that the allegation is she falsified a document, perjury. What did they do in this budget? They put $10 million for her to be able to cover her legal fees under this theory. If you're sued by the federal government, then you can access this fund. Okay? So, but who's going to sue if there's a federal fraud allegation? It's the federal government. $10 million of your taxpayer dollars are in a pool to pay for the attorney general's investigation that is occurring, Joe. So we can go through, and there's lists of wasteful spending in the budget, and we don't have time to go through it all, but that's just one of the blatant abuses that the majority has been able to perpetrate upon the taxpayers in New York State.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of my questions. I saw that on TV Thursday night about that fund for the attorney general. You know, I had the state comptroller on this show back in March, and I asked him about a Doge-style committee here in New York State, and he said that his office was actively looking at places where to cut. But at the same time, we're talking about a more expensive budget every year. Is there any reality, speaking of reality, any realities to what the comptroller told me in March?
Well, he's been saying this. He's been warning about budget shortfalls. The comptroller has been saying our budgets are unsustainable. But unfortunately, he doesn't have the power to make the cuts. He does do audits, and he is 100% on target. When I ran for office, my opponent, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to cut taxes. Joe, they're never going to cut taxes. But How can we reduce the spending? It's through a DOGE concept. No programs, is there ever any transparency or analysis? Let's for an example, and I'm just going to make an example, on some of the programs that they claim are going to help the middle class. There may be 10 programs that claim they're going to do it, and because the majority can, they give them all money. Now, how many of these are actually doing what they claim they want to do? How many of these are using them as hiring of friends and family and using the funds for salaries, to just high salaries, the administrators, without actually performing the function? If we just take a category, okay, that allegedly helps those that need it the most and go through them, and I'm not saying there's only 10 or there's 10, but as an example, they may find that five of them are not doing a thing except hiring friends and family and funneling money to not-for-profits that somehow they benefit. And this happens all the time in government. There's statistics. There's lawsuits on it. So you take the five that are not doing the job, take a little bit of their money, add it to those that are doing the job. Now you've got a savings on a category. Can you imagine if we did this on every category? We could lower property taxes. I mean, we pay the highest property taxes in the country, in the absolute country. And where is most of this money centralized? It's centralized in the New York City area, okay? But, Joe, we can't just keep spending. You get a salary. I get a salary. The working class gets a salary, okay? We can't go out and say we're going to double what our income is, because we'll find ways to get it, okay, from others. And that's what they do. They find ways to spend money, and then they come up with schemes to support that. And that, to me, is absolutely unconscionable. One other area. They're touting that they took out of the rainy day fund to pay off the debt to the federal government, okay, on the unemployment during COVID. Sounds great, doesn't it, Joe? However, to help fund the deficits in the MTA, they are raising taxes on businesses in a generalized area that utilizes the MTA. The majority of these businesses have come out and said, we're leaving New York State. We're sorry, but we just can't. So what did they do? All right, well, we're going to get rid of the assessment for the unemployment, but we're going to take it from you in another way. They've given them nothing, Joe. They've given nothing, but you're not going to hear about the backdoor deals on, well, let's give this out from the rainy day fund, but we can get it back on this end. And the MTA, they have been rife with incompetency, fraud, and spending, unbridled spending. No accountability to them, and now they want us to bail them out. There's money in the budget for the police in the subways, okay? Think about that. The safety of the subways is now falling again on the taxpayers because of the focus on law enforcement, okay? They put National Guard in the subways, okay? Taxpayer dollars. Instead of looking at what is the root cause, it's some of the criminal justice reforms that were impractical and unworkable. Now, I'm not saying we should have never looked at. We have to always analyze what's happening. But you can't take one-sided view on situations that may not be told 100% in a truthful way and then wipe out all. You know, there's a mayoral candidate running for New York City mayor that basically said he wants to do away with police and he wants community psychologists, community safety committees to go into situations. Can you imagine sending three psychologists into a shooting, into a riot? Okay, let's take the mask law. Okay, you know what they compromised? Our governor compromised on the mask law. okay, that if you're wearing a mask and you prove that you were wearing it in the commission of certain crimes, okay, to conceal your face, it's an added penalty. You know what the penalty is? A B misdemeanor. A B misdemeanor is a slap on the wrist. DWIs have a greater penalty than a B misdemeanor. You can go up to jail for 90 days on a B misdemeanor, less the served good time, but nobody goes to jail on a B misdemeanor. So again, window dressing. What is wrong with saying you can't wear a mask unless you have a health reason to conceal your identity? Let's use that and go to the campus protests. They claim First Amendment rights, but they wear masks to conceal their identity. Joe, you and I both know you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. Not every speech is constitutionally protected. Okay? So the inciting riots, the violence, the claims that are happening on some of these, and they're concealing their identity, they're not First Amendment rights, okay? But the press is complicit. Everything is a First Amendment. You can't go out and say we're going to start a riot. You can't go out and say we're going to kill people. We're not going to go out. You can't do that. That is not a First Amendment right. So that's a long answer to your short question, Joe.
Silly man, you know, also looking at something that was brought up a lot last year, the money going to people who are not here legally, right? We know some of that money was used to send some to Erie County a few years ago. Where is that in the budget, and how much money went to that fund this time around?
Well, you know, it's not identified as that, but there's different pockets of money for housing, for migrants, for immigrants, for second language, English second language, okay? So buried in there, there's about $1.5 billion, okay? And then the money that is spent to protect the criminals that are the illegals, the ones that the entire country said, we want our borders closed. We want this. Now look at the deportations, okay? They want a trial on every one of them. Now, can you imagine? That's not how the immigration system was designed, but all these ideas that are coming forward and being pushed. You know, I don't have them, and I can get them to you. I'll find them. There's two websites. The protesters can sign up to get $200 a day to protest. Okay? And there's a second website to tell them how they get their expenses. There's individuals that move around the country just doing these protests. Half of them have no idea what they're protesting. So when you look at it all, this is part of what your question was. It's hard to now identify the specific dollars, but I guarantee you it's got to be upwards of $3 billion.
Speaking of spending money on stuff that, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, where do we get this money from? I know this might not be so much at the state level, though we did talk about the fund for Letitia James' legal fees. Yeah. But, you know, we're seeing counties like Erie County use tax dollars to sue the federal government, and let's be honest, all to make a big stink and make a political point. What are your thoughts on that? You know, you're at the state level. What do you think about these governments throughout the country, municipality governments, county governments, or state governments that are using tax dollars to sue just to make a point against the sitting president?
I think it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. Most of them know they're not going to win. Yeah, they can win on the local levels because of the system of courts we have, and I'm not criticizing the courts, but we have certain judges that put personal feelings into their decisions over the law, and you've got the appeal process. But remember, okay, country had two visions, okay, and one vision won. The vision that lost cannot get over it. You know, when the vision that won, when they were the ones that didn't win, okay, they didn't get as vocal. They didn't get as vicious. They didn't go out and perpetrate and tell people to get nasty, to get mean, to get violent. Okay, where are they going to go with this? work within the system. Let's take the Doge, okay? Listen, that had to be done. Everyone said it had to be done. Let's take the immigration. Why are we wasting taxpayer dollars on individuals that were here illegally? They broke the law. Do you remember a number of years ago, these three young hikers, and I believe they crossed into, it was either Iran or Iraq, and I forget which country, over the hills. They were caught. They were put in jail. They claimed they got lost hiking in the mountains out there, okay? They went right to jail. They have closed borders. Every country has a closed border. Anybody who's ever traveled in Europe, when you're traveling from one area to the other, most of them, you have to have some kind of a border check. Why should we allow everyone to come into ours unvetted? Think about that, okay? You know, it's really interesting, too, that talk about the border. The measles crisis that we're experiencing started in Texas. That's where the majority of the illegals crossed over. I'm not telling you I have scientific evidence, but practically, hey, we've been around a little bit, Joe, you and I, practically, did that cause some of it? Nobody will talk about it, okay? Couple other things in the budget which I found interesting. Two things made their way in the budget. He's dealing with the city of Buffalo. You've got a mayoral race coming up. You've got one candidate who came up with a couple ideas on how to help fill the gap in the budget, and you have another candidate who came up with a different idea. It's really interesting. Two things made it into the budget. One was the increase in bed tax. The other was the parking authority for Buffalo. The concept of allowing Buffalo to bond out the deficit never made it into the budget. Okay? So I'm wondering whether that tells who's got the more practical aspect of how to balance a budget. You know, you put the parking authority in, they're going to bond out to buy the ramps, to give money, the city money. But they've got a revenue source of the parking fees to pay that bond. The other concept, if the city borrowed it, it would be the taxpayers that had to pay the bond. So there's some practicality, okay? It just seems to, we need to analyze all aspects of every move that is made by government, local and state and federal. We can't just have people with louder voices and opinions telling everyone else what they should be believing. When I talk, I never tell people what to believe. I give them a different point of view. I give them things that I can substantiate in writing, okay, that I've seen happen, and let them make a decision. We have to have people be able to open their minds to another point of view and not close their point of view. Talk about the federal government. I see on social media people counting down the number of days that this administration, but this administration is doing exactly what they said when they ran for office in the majority of the people. It wasn't just the Electoral College in this one. It was the popular vote and the Electoral College. And think about this. The task at hand needed to be moved. I'm going to talk a little about the tariffs, okay? If you go through and you analyze almost every prior president, and Nancy Pelosi said, we need to adjust the tariffs. Now that they're being addressed, they're criticizing it. It's going to be disastrous. Think about this. We produce hardly anything in this country anymore, Joe. Okay? And that's what built the middle class, is being able to manufacture. We have to start building things in our own country, or we're going to be at the mercy of the world. And that's not what America was based on.
Assemblyman Angelo Moriello, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. You have a beautiful day.